So we have a lot to offer to the world. We also have a lot to offer to the church, which is a whole other side of this. I believe that it's upon us. It's our responsibility to communicate the message of Torah and the centrality of Israel with our Gentile brothers and sisters. It's not our responsibility, of course, to convince them. It's certainly not our job to compel them to take on the Sabbath or start eating kosher or any of the commandments traditionally incumbent upon Jews. But neither should we leave them in the darkness and deny them the opportunity to enter these blessings. To whom much has been given, much will be required. It reminds me of the parable of the talents. The master asks each of his servants what they did with their talents, and the one says, "Well, I buried it. Here it is. Just like you gave it to me. Go ahead and count it. It's all there." And the master says, "Depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant." But how do you present it? How do you say it? I mean, what do you say? How do you communicate it? How do I take this message to the lost? Or alternatively, how do I take this message to the churched? "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech," Moses says. I would say, "Behold, the believers have not listened to me. How then will unbelievers listen to me? I am unskilled in speech." Do you see the problem we have? So my inclination would be probably to just ignore the whole thing, huddle down, study Torah, keep the Sabbath, keep to myself, and hope that my lifestyle evangelism bears some fruit at some point. But that's not an option. To the extent that we do that, I believe we make ourselves irrelevant, irrelevant to the larger purposes of God, and irrelevant to the kingdom. Now Moses didn't feel like he was able to share his faith either. When he stood at the burning bush, he argued with God and said in Exodus 4:10, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." When you think about it, actually, this sounds like a contradiction. Because the rest of the Torah is Moses speaking. God speaks, Moses repeats. The whole book of Deuteronomy, for example, is one long continuous sermon. The whole Torah was delivered by the mouth of Moses, which is pretty impressive for a guy of slow speech. The Maharal of Prague, of Golem fame, explains that it wasn't that Moses had a speech impediment, nor that he was not eloquent. Rather, the truth of it was that he had grasped the truth too clearly. Spiritual truth, inner truth, is like that. The better you see it, the more clearly you grasp the ineffable, the more dumbfounded you feel about it. Explain God? When we attempt to communicate heavenly truth, words utterly fail us. You can conceive it in your mind, in your spirit. You can see it almost. It makes perfect sense. All the pieces fit. It's like a light going on. And then you turn to your spouse to explain this sudden flash of inspiration which has birthed deep inside of you, this deep insight that has connected in your soul and in your spirit, in chokmah, bina, da'at. And you turn to your spouse to explain this, and words utterly fail you. You're standing there, stammering. The Maharal explains that this was Moses' predicament. The Torah says Moses saw God clearly. He clearly perceived the spiritual. But when he turns to try to express what he so clearly perceives, Moses says, "I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So, what happened? What was it that changed between the time of the burning bush and the time that Moses spoke the whole Torah, the ultimate spiritual revelation to Israel? That's simple. The Maharal explains Shavuot happened, Pentecost happened. The Torah came down. On the day of Pentecost, the day of Shavuot, God descended onto Mount Sinai. The divine word of God was translated from the highest realm into the realm of men, into the language of men, into the speech of men. Everyone heard the voice of the Almighty, and never again after that moment do we hear Moses complain that he is slow of speech. From then on, from Pentecost until his death, he is instead a man of sublime eloquence. And the very word of God spills from within him. He speaks directly for God. The high, lofty, spiritual truths that Moses previously felt unable to articulate descended by means of divine condescension to Sinai, and Moses found his tongue. You know, we see a similar transformation fall upon the disciples of the Master. For 3 years they followed the Master, and during those 3 years they were consistently unable to even articulate the proper question. Continually, we read, they did not understand. They did not know what he meant. They did not know what to say. They did not know how to answer. But then something happens. Shavuot happens. Pentecost happens. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The divine word of God was translated from the highest realm into the realm of men. Just as he had been in and upon the Son, the Spirit came upon the believers, and their tongues were loosed. Like the mute man set free from the evil spirit that bound his tongues, their tongues were loosed, and Peter stood and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, the word of the Messiah, as it says in Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. It says, Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls." As with the story of Moses, after Shavuot, after Pentecost, the disciples are never mute again, never stammering again. Instead, they go forth proclaiming the gospel in power, unashamed, and transforming the world. Yeshua, earlier, had told them, "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Matthew chapter 10, 19 and 20. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean that it does not matter what you say, or that the first stupid thing that occurs to you is from God and is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. But there is something to be learned here. The message we carry is sublime, ineffable. It cannot be reduced to a formula or an equation. It is just beyond the edge of where the rational mind can firmly grasp and apprehend it. It is tongue-tying, and it is stammering. And this is part of your problem. This is one reason that you and I find it so difficult to imagine going out and sharing our faith.